the last few weeks, as you know, we have been in the middle of a series called Relationship Issues, and we have talked about everything from, we've talked about aiming for the ideal and giving grace for the real, which is what relationships is really all about. We've talked about grace. We've talked about forgiveness and repentance as paths to reconciliation. We talked about submission, a biblical submission, which means leveraging your resources for the benefit of another. We talked about all of that. Next week, by the way, I'm going to finish this series with a message entitled Roadside Assistance. How did we get here and where do we go from here? And it's going to be kind of a finale to this message, Roadside Assistance. How do we get here and how do we go from here? But this morning, I want to talk about what I believe is the best way I know how to describe it. It has the most extreme potential. In other words, it can go really good or it can go really bad really quickly. And I've entitled it Backseat Drivers. Now, I know when I first announced that I was talking about backseat drivers that many of you thought I was going to be talking about your mother-in-law. Or maybe you thought I was going to be talking about my mother-in-law. But actually, I'm going to be talking about me and you this morning. See, here's what I know. The majority of us cannot stand backseat drivers. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? And yet we all still do it. Right? When you're sitting in this seat, you can't stand for somebody in these other three seats to be a backseat driver. But if you're sitting in this seat, you still do it. Right? Also, what I know is this, is that according to one survey, one out of every seven accidents is caused by distraction from a backseat driver. Now, wait a minute. Don't be going elbowing each other now. But I also know this, that every person who has sat in this seat has been saved from an accident from somebody sitting in one of these other seats at some time or another. Right? Right? So here's what I know. It's not so much about the backseat driver. It is more about how we communicate. Right? Because the communication of a backseat driver can make it go really good or really bad really fast, right? And we've all been in that situation. And I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about communication, because that's the way it is with relationships. You understand that, don't you? That with relationships, it's the same way. That how oftentimes it is how we communicate that will make or break something. And I want to talk about that in the context of something that Paul said to us and what we've been talking about for a few weeks now. And you remember we've been talking out of Colossians, and out of Colossians, Paul is talking to the Christians there, telling them how to live out their faith in the context of their relationships. And then he talks about unifying love and peace and forgiveness and all. And then there's another phrase, and it actually appears twice, and I want to point it out. Colossians is, yes, it's coming up on the screen. Watch what it says. Is, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and I've put a few words in bold and underlined a couple of words, clothe yourselves. Everybody say, clothe myself. Myself. With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And overall, these virtues put on, somebody say put on. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I want to just talk for here for a few minutes. I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the character of our communication. And then I want to apply it in what I think is the most difficult of communication when it comes to relationships. So let's talk for a few minutes about the character of communication. Watch what it says here. Let's talk for just a few moments this morning about this clothe idea. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself or put on. Actually, the word put on in verse 14 and the word clothe up in verse 12 is actually the same word in the original language. It actually means both of that. Clothe yourself or put on. And what it What it means is to, it's not just donning a garment. We all this morning donned a garment. We all put on something this morning as we got ready. But all of us here this morning also have, any ladies here that have a favorite outfit? Any ladies know what I'm talking about? You got a favorite. And that favorite outfit, when you put it on, you sink into it. I mean, it just, you become, I mean, that it just, you know, it just feels right. You just see, and that's what this word actually means. When the word put on or clothed actually means to sink into, to sink down into. That's important. If you take notes, I want you to write down now. Clothing or put on actually means to sink down into a garment. It's not something you put on and put off. It's not something you take on and take off. You sink down into it. It's what it actually means. And then notice what Paul says, what we are to do. Now, again, I'm talking about character now and how it's going to affect communication here in just a second. But watch what he says here. You notice what he says we are to sink down into. What are we to sink down into? First of all, it's compassion. You are to clothe yourself. You are to sink down into compassion. Compassion is sympathetic mercy. Sympathetic mercy. Sink down into kindness. Kindness is actually the word there is goodness that is demonstrated to others in action and behavior. Kindness is goodness demonstrated to others in action and behavior. Humility. Now, humility, that's an interesting word. You know what humility actually means there? It means modest mind. Modest mind. It means, in another place, Paul put it this way, do not think too much of yourself. My goodness, you've gotten quiet. We are to put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, which means a modest mind. Gentleness, watch this. Here we go. Everybody in the house listening. Gentleness is mildness in attitude. Mildness in attitude and in temperament. That's what gentleness is. We think, all times we think gentleness is somehow somebody being a pushover. That's not what it means. It means mildness in attitude and temperament. We are to sink down into compassion, sink down into kindness, sink down into humility, sink down into patience. Patience is actually an interesting word. It means long suffering with the end in view. And in the context of relationships, it means that I'm going to be, Geraldine and I are long suffering with each other because we have our relationship in view. We have the good of our relationship in view. The end is in view. In other words, Geraldine and I, come walk with me, baby. I look better when she walks with me. We walk together, even though our steps are not necessarily exactly the same. She may go in a little different direction. I may go in a little different direction. She may say things or I may say things or do things, but we walk together because the end is in view. I'm not going to let go of her hand because of something that happens right here, right now, in this moment. Why? Because we're walking together. We have the end in view, and so we are going to be long-suffering with each other. And in her case, with me, sometimes it's suffering long and not just long suffering. We are to have patience. We are to sink down into the word there actually in the language is forbearance. Forbearance. It means bearing with each other. It actually means, here we go, putting up with. Right? Listen to me now. We're just getting real. We're just getting our feet dirty. You know, we're just getting right. It means, listen to me. In relationships, there's just some stuff you're gonna have to put up with. There's just some stuff you're just gonna have to put up with, right? Sink down into forbearance. Sink down into bearing with each other. Sink down into forgiveness. Forgiveness is giving pardon and love. Love means honoring and greeting. So watch what Paul's saying here. Paul is saying, what he's actually telling them is, look, in order to live out Christ in the context of your relationships, you've got to be properly clothed. There's no way to live out Christ in the context of my relationships unless I'm properly clothed. And the way to be properly clothed is to be clothed in the character of Christ. All of these things, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, love, these things are what? They are the character of Christ. So what that means is that you and I, we have to sink down into sympathetic compassion. We have to sink down into demonstrated kindness. We have to sink down into modest self-estimation. We have to sink down into mildness in our attitude. We have to sink down into a patient approach to other people. We have to sink down into an enduring and an understanding outlook. We have to sink down into a forgiving response or an honoring and an active love. So understand what this is telling us here now. Is that in our relationships, we are to clothe ourselves in the character of Christ. We are to sink down into. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because oftentimes in communication, there's not a lot of sink down into going on. Right? Think about it. Oftentimes when we are in this situation, we've got a driver, a backseat driver, and they're going one route, and you think they should go another. It's rising up. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. He ought to be doing this and that, or she ought to be handling this. There's no sinking down into. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. What often happens when you got a driver and a backseat driver, there's a lot of rising up going on. Right? Not a lot of sinking down into going on. No wonder one out of seven accidents happens because of backseat driver distraction, right? Because there's a lot of rising up that is going on in the middle of that. But here's what Paul says. Now listen to me. There is no place that this is more crucial than in communication. Because here's what I know. When we have to communicate with each other, oftentimes we come to it with an agenda, with a purpose, with something we want to say, something we want to accomplish. There's not a lot of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. There's not a lot of sinking down that's going on. There's a lot of rising up that happens. Are you okay this morning? I'm not punch the person next to you, make sure they're breathing. I'm not sure everybody's breathing this morning. It's interesting because Paul makes another statement that we use very often. We talk about communication. He uses it a lot, we use it a lot. And I don't think we understand it in its context. In this place where Paul is writing this, it's interesting because it is very similar to what we find here in Colossians. In Colossians, we find that Paul is advising them how to live in connection to each other. And this is the same thing we find in this other places. In this context, Paul is telling them how to live with each other. Anybody want any advice this morning on how to live with each other? Well, Paul says in that context, how to live with each other, he tells them in Ephesians, he tells them to be worthy of Christ. He tells them to be humble. He tells them to be gentle and to be patient. Wait a minute. That's what we just heard him say, right? We've just heard him say, be humble, be patient, be gentle. He tells them to have an enduring love. Wait a second, that's what we just heard. He tells them to do whatever you have to keep the peace. Well, that's what we just heard. In fact, he says, when you do this, you'll be stronger because of, wait a minute, that's what we just heard. But in the middle of that discussion about that, Paul says these four words, speaking the truth in love. It's an interesting phrase because we bant it around. We throw it around without understanding the context of it. Speaking the truth has to do with the facts and the profession of those facts. In other words, and love here, by the way, is the exact same word. Speaking the truth in love. Love is the exact same word in Ephesians that Paul used in Colossians. The exact same word. And it means a demonstrated love. So it has to do with the facts and with how we profess, how we say those facts. So in other words, speaking the truth in love, listen to me. Speaking the truth in love does not mean because I love you, I can say whatever I want any way I want to say it. Speaking the truth does not mean because you know I love you, you have to receive it no matter how I say it. Yeah. Right? That's not what it means at all. In fact, a lot of people excuse this. They use this verse as an excuse. Well, it doesn't matter how I tell them. It doesn't matter how I say it. They love them, and they know I love them, and they ought to receive it. It's not what it says at all. In fact, what this is telling us is the exact opposite of that, that it matters what I say and how I say it. And this is not Glenn just talking about communication. This is Paul in the Bible. Speaking the truth in love means that I get the facts right and I get the spirit right. In order to communicate it, listen, it has to do with both the truth and the way that we communicate that truth. Listen to me. Truth can only be communicated in the presence of an active, demonstrated love. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a meeting, in a class or in a meeting or in a conversation, and how many times I've sat counseling individuals or maybe in a meeting of some sort where people are trying to come to the meeting of the mind, they have differences of opinion. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat, and you have too, you've watched it, how many times you've sat and you look and you just listen to the conversation and you say, man, this guy is, man, he's speaking truth. I mean, he is telling the truth. He is right on, or she is right on, but she is destroying any possibility of anybody hearing what she's saying. Yeah. Right? See, listen to me. You cannot afford to do that. In our relationships, we cannot afford to do that. We cannot afford, listen to me, if you're a backseat driver, you have a vested interest in how this thing is driven. Can I get an amen? Right, I'm riding in this car. We are in this thing together. So I have a vested interest in how this thing is driven. And if I am trying to point out to someone something that is going to be detrimental to how this relationship is or how this car is driven, I want to speak it in the most effective way possible. Right? You cannot afford, and listen, and if you're the driver, what you cannot afford as the driver, you cannot afford to have blocked out everything everybody says. They may be saying, telling you something's going to save your life. They may be keeping you out of a disaster. If a train's coming and you don't see the train, Lord, help us to let somebody help us see the train. And the only way that's communicated is in the character of Christ. Speaking the truth in love has to do with putting on the character of Christ in order that the truth may come through. There it is. There's no rising up in that. There is a sinking down into it. In other words, if I want to communicate truth, I've got to put on the character of Christ so that I'm sure that that truth comes through. The one thing I cannot afford to do when I'm speaking truth into somebody's life, the one thing I cannot afford to do is let me get in the way. In order to make sure I don't get in the way, I need to sink down into the character of Christ. Instead of pride, I need to have humility, right? Instead of impatience, I need to be patient. Instead of rising up, I need to be gentle. Because I cannot afford for the truth to not get through. The same is true in our relationships with each other. We have stuff to say to each other, right? We have stuff to say to each other. I know some of you are saying, yeah, a lot of stuff to say to each other. And I've heard it over and over and over. Well, maybe it's because you haven't heard it at all. Right? Speaking the truth in love has to do with putting on the character of Christ. Can I tell you something? That is the only way truth is actually communicated. Because here's what I know. Truth is hard. Sometimes truth is hard. Compassion tempers it. Sometimes truth is harsh. Kindness moderates it. Are you hearing me? You follow? Sometimes truth is brazen. It's brazen. Humility makes it easier to take. Right? Sometimes truth is coarse, rough. Gentleness makes it easier to swallow. Sometimes truth is demanding. Patience helps me to apply it. See, I cannot afford for the truth to not get through. Whether I'm talking with Geraldine and I about our marriage and our relationship and something that I need her to know or she needs me to know, or whether I'm communicating with a board member or whether I'm out there witnessing in the workplace, well, I cannot afford for Glenn to get in the way of the truth coming through. And the only way I can prevent that is put on the character of Christ. You and I would do very, very well. When we begin to communicate, you and I would do very, very well to say, Lord, before I open my mouth, help me to sink down. Right? Help me to sink back. Help me to put on your character, because what I'm fixing to tell this individual may affect their eternity. What I'm fixing to tell this individual may affect their marriage. What I'm telling this individual, this teenager who is on the brink here of going one way or another, what I'm about to say to them may affect the life that they live and where they live in eternity. What I'm about to say to this young couple that has run into problems, their marriage, their divorce may be on the line. Don't let me get in the way. I want to sink down into the character of Christ in order that the truth may get through. Amen? Are you with me this morning? And the reason this is so crucial is this, is truth matters. Truth makes you free. Truth makes you free. It matters that the truth gets through, whether we're preaching the gospel or whether we're speaking truth into somebody else's life on another level. Being compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient and loving does not diminish the truth. Some people seem to think that unless I say it loud and hard and in your face, that it somehow is going to diminish the truth. Hello? And I hear people, and you think, I see a lot of heads going up and down and all. That's all well and good, but some of those that are shaking, we're sitting in this seat. Right? Have you ever found yourself saying, well, I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth. I'm not going to back away from the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to dumb it down. I'm not going to water it down. Listen to what Paul is saying. He's not telling you to sugarcoat the truth or dumb the truth down. He's telling you to get on the character of Christ, to sink down into him so that the truth can actually come through. Right? In fact, I'll tell you, if you are prone to saying, well, I'm not going to pull any punches, I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth, you might find if you look closer, there's more rising up than sinking down going on in how you communicate with others. This is word this morning. This will change your relationships. It'll change the way that you relate to each other. It'll change your ability to actually get through. Now let's apply this. I don't have but a few minutes of voice left this morning. Let's apply this. I want to apply this in what I think is the most difficult of communication, and that is when we speak hard truth. Everybody say with me, hard truth. Criticism. Giving and receiving criticism. Man, you know, when you're sitting in the driver's seat, the last thing in the world you want is somebody giving hard truth or criticizing, right? And at the same time, if you're sitting in the passenger seat there, sometimes you think, oh my word, I wish you would just hear what I'm saying. Because I'm in this car too. I don't know how many times Geraldine has said to me, and it's true, I don't know how you drive safely when I'm not in the car with you. I'm just saying, you know. To which I respond, I haven't had a wreck yet. I don't tell her about all the close calls, but... But giving and receiving hard truth, now that's a different deal there, right? Let's break this out just for maybe 5 minutes or so. Let's just break this out when it comes to giving and receiving hard truth. Watch this. It is only when you are clothed in the character of Christ that you can give hard truth. Listen to me. It is out of compassion and kindness and humility. Somebody say modest mind. Modest mind. A honest estimation of me. It is only from that context, from the context of gentleness and patience and love, that hard truth can be spoken. It's in the context of love. In fact, watch this. Listen to me. The Bible demands that I examine myself and make sure that I have sunk down into the character of Christ before I speak hard truth. That's what speaking the truth in love means. If you haven't done the examination, don't give the test. If you haven't done the examination, don't give the test. Because listen to me, it's going to be a test to the other vigil to receive hard truth. Isn't it going to be a test? Is it a test in your life to receive hard truth? Can we just be honest? That's a test. It's a test. So listen, if you're the one administering the test, do the exam first. Do the exam first. So that when you give the test, you have sunk down into the character of Christ. In fact, I'll go a little further. This idea of putting on love. Putting on love, that's why you should never criticize what you're not committed to. Because you can't do it from a heart of love. Wow. You're not committed to a relationship, you shouldn't criticize because you cannot do it from a heart of love. Love requires commitment. Love is part of commitment. Listen, you're not committed to a workplace. You're not committed to a workplace. You can't criticize that workplace out of love unless you're committed to it. You can't criticize your own marriage unless you're committed to it. You can't criticize a ball team unless you're committed to it, right? Because you can't do it out of love. It just becomes throwing stones at that point. That's all it is. You're just throwing stones, man. You can't criticize the church you're not committed to. Why? Because being committed is what tempers everything. Putting on love, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. It's what tempers the truth that you're trying to get through in a way that it can be heard and received. Amen? So if you're giving criticism, it has to be in the character of Christ. Compassion, kindness, humility, mildness, patience, endurance, understanding, forgiveness. It has to be that way. On the other hand, listen to me. In order to receive criticism, in order to receive hard truth, you absolutely must be clothed in the character of Christ. When somebody comes to you and they're about to speak some honest truth into your life that's going to be hard for you to take. It's going to be hard for you to take. You absolutely must be clothed in compassion and kindness and humility. 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 Listen to me. A person that doesn't have a modest estimation of themselves won't receive truth from anybody else. Right? I mean, if I think I know it all, what can you tell me? If I think I've got it all right, correct, well, why are you gotta have a modest expectation of yourself. And if you're married here and you don't have a modest expectation of yourself and you need some help getting that, ask your spouse. They can help you with that. Modest expectation. But listen to me. If you're not humble, you're not gonna receive truth. If you're not gentle and patient, you're not gonna be able to receive. If you haven't sunk down into, and now listen to me. The real test is hard truth. Because I'm telling you, When it comes to speaking and receiving hard truth, that's when Glenn wants to rise up the most. Come on now. That's when, oh, come on, I'm not the only one. That's when Simi and Mike and Geraldine, right? That's when Lindsay, that's when we want to rise up. That's when Brent wants to rise up. It's when hard truth is being spoken or received. And that's why it's so crucial to sink down into the character of Christ so that I can speak and receive hard truth. And if you're on the receiving side, you gotta put that on. Listen, you cannot receive. In fact, let me tell you, if you can't receive criticism, you should not give criticism. But not because of the fairness of it. We think of that. We think if you can't receive criticism, you shouldn't give criticism. We think that's true because of the fairness of it. And there is some fairness of it, but that's not the point. The point is, if you can't receive criticism, you don't have the character of Christ. You haven't put it on. And if you haven't put it on, then you ought not be given criticism. Right? I hope you're taking notes this morning. So the idea here is this, is listen to me, to put ourselves in a position where truth can be communicated, whether it's in our marriages, our workplace, our friendship. Listen to me, parents. Parents, listen to me. Listen to me, parents. It is absolutely crucial that we get this right when we are dealing with our children and our teens. Our children and our teens are having their brains beat out by the world. You hear what I'm saying? They are stomped on and stomped on and stomped on and stomped on. And I'm not saying that you just coddle them. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you are going to need, listen to me, parents, you are going to need to speak some hard truth at times. You are going to need to speak some hard truth at times. And in those times, you want to make sure when you're talking to your teenager about the friends that they're hanging around, you want to be sure that that truth comes through. What you cannot afford to do is have you get in the way of truth coming through. And the only way to make sure that doesn't happen is to sink down into the character of Christ. Right? So, let me give you four questions. And I say this about hard truth because it applies in general, but four questions, if you're taking notes, four questions we should always ask when giving and receiving hard truth. And then I'm just gonna, and then I'll pull this together here more. Four questions when giving and receiving hard truth. Now remember, the character of Christ controls this whole conversation. But there are four absolutely crucial questions. The first question this you should always ask when giving or receiving hard truth is this: is it true? The first question you should always ask. If you are giving hard truth, you must make sure it is true and truth. Right? You are responsible for that. As the giver of that, you are responsible to make sure it is true and is truth. If you're giving hard truth, if you're speaking hard truth, you've got to make certain that Paul puts that on you. The Bible puts that on us. If I'm going to speak hard truth into somebody's life, I better make sure it's actually, well, truth. Otherwise, it'll just be hard. Right? At the same time, if you're receiving hard truth, you're sitting at the table across from somebody, right? And they're speaking into your life, and this thing is hard, and all, you know, I'm sitting there, and Glenn wants to rise up. Glenn wants to come out. The first question I should ask myself before I do anything else is this true? Because nothing else matters until I settle that question. And can I give you a hint? Can I give you a hint, by the way? If you find yourself sitting across the table from somebody, and they're speaking a hard truth in your life, and you can think back and you think, wait a minute, I've heard this before. Right? Boing! Light bulb over the head, right? If somebody is speaking something into your life and you've heard it once before or twice before or 20 times before, hello! It just might be true. No matter how hard it is to receive, no matter how hard it is that they're speaking into my life, if you hear it over and over and over again, The Spirit of God is trying to get some truth into you, right? You keep running the same stop sign. You keep cutting people off in the passing lane. You need to hear that. Is it true? Because if it's true, listen to me. If it's true, God's doing something. This ain't about Mike sitting across the desk from me in the office and speaking something into my life. That if it's true and it's hard truth and it's criticized, that's not about Mike doing. God's doing something in that conversation, right? So the first question is it true? Second question is this. Is it beneficial? Is it useful? In other words, if you're giving truth, if you're giving truth to another individual, it's upon you to make sure that it's actually useful to them. Otherwise, it's not criticism, it's just critical. Right? I'm responsible. If I'm going to speak into Casey Lynn's life, if I'm going to speak hard truth, it's my responsibility. I can't put that off on somebody. This is not like bombing somebody, right? You don't just fly over, boom, drop the bomb of truth. You're not bombing each other's relationships. You want to land that plane and have a conversation. And so I want to make sure. Listen to me, I care about Casey Lynn. I love Casey Lynn. I care about her future. I care about what she's going on right now. I care about what's coming up in her life. I care about her ministry and her marriage and her kids that she's going to have. I care about all of that. I'm not going to just drop a bomb of truth in her life. It's up to me to make sure it's actually useful to her. And on the receiving side, you know why sinking down into... You know why it's so important on the receiving side when it comes to if it's beneficial or not? But because this is a place where you need to back away. You need to be able to back away. And the deeper I am into the character of Christ, the more I'm able to back away from it and say, wait a minute. If I just get Glenn out of the way, this actually helps me. This is actually beneficial to me. This is actually useful to me in my life. When they're speaking into my life, it may have to do with my marriage or my ministry or my workplace. It actually helps me. So the first question is it beneficial? The second question is it true? The second question is it beneficial? And can I tell you something? Mature Christians grow from criticism. Mature people grow from criticism. Immature people cast it aside and keep driving the same old way that they've always driven. Is it true? Is it beneficial? Second thing is this, is it changeable? Is it changeable? In other words, if I'm giving truth into somebody's life, there's some level at which I need to make sure this is something they can actually do something about. You understand, don't you, that if I'm gonna bring criticism into somebody's life, and it's about something they can't do anything about, that's just, well, cruel, right? That just brings frustration and anger. That doesn't help. Is it something that they can actually change? Something they can actually do something about? Because there's some individuals in their life, there's some things that need to be, but they're not the source of it. You understand, it's not, they can't change it. They can't do anything about it. On the other side, if I'm receiving this hard truth, I've got to actually ask myself, okay, wait a minute. Is this something I can and ought to change? Is this something I can and ought to change? The old saying goes this way. Before you put your foot down, make certain of where you stand. Right? So before you say, I'm not gonna change. If you are in the driver's seat and you're getting and several people are saying, you know, you're going 93 miles an hour, and everybody keeps saying, we just passed a cop. I'm not slowing down. We just passed a cop. I'm not slowing down. We just passed another cop. I'm not slowing down, right? Guess what? Their radios are faster than your car. right? Last thing I need to do is put my foot down and say, I'm going to drive this way no matter what, right? You can't afford to do that. And then the last thing is this. The last question is, so is it true? Is it beneficial? Is it changeable? And then finally, is it challenging? Is it challenging? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Am I building up and encouraging when I'm speaking hard truth? Is the end result of that building up and encouraging and exhorting them to go to a higher place and a higher level? Or are my words and the attitude with which I give them, are they simply tearing down and demeaning the other person? Right? Church, this is real stuff. This is where we live. This is where we live, and I've got to ask that question. Am I challenging? Because when I come and I speak hard truth into somebody's life, the last thing I wanted to do is to tear them down and to destroy them. Speaking hard truth is not fun. I don't like it. I don't know how many of you have ever had to do it. You speak a real hard truth into somebody's life. That is not fun. If you get pleasure out of that, there's something wrong there. It's oftentimes not a pleasant conversation. But what I want to have happen out of that conversation is I want them to be built up and to rise up. I want them to go to a higher level. So is it challenging? And that has as much to do with the words I speak as it does with the way in which I speak them. And then if you're receiving hard truth, does it challenge me? This person that they're coming to my life, I know they're speaking a hard thing. I know they're saying a tough thing in my life. But you know what? If I make this change, I recognize that I'll be a better dad. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better father. I'll be a better pastor. I'll be a better servant. I'll be a better leader. I'll be a better person. I'll be a better teenager. I'll be a better child. I'll be a better student if I do this in my life. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult today, but I'll be a better driver of my life if I'll accept what they're telling me to do. Amen? What we're talking about here is relationship issues, and one of the ones that has the ability to go extreme the most is communication. And we cannot afford to communicate outside of the character of Christ. That's what it means to speak the truth in love, is you have sunk down into the character of Christ. So here's what I believe. In a sentence, here's what I believe. In order to communicate in a way that makes strong, lasting relationships, you must clothe yourself in the character and the love of Christ. Amen? Amen. This is not a shout hallelujah message, but this will change your life. This will change your marriage. This will change parent, teenager relationships. It'll change it. There may be some individuals here that you wonder, why in the world can my teen not get it through? And it may be on their side, but listen, it would behoove you to make sure you're clothed in the character of Christ. Maybe you've got a marriage issue here and this morning. Listen, it would behoove you to make sure you're in the character of Christ, because this will make marriages more honest and more mature and more intimate. This will make friendships more authentic and more beneficial, right? This will make churches have more character and more integrity and be more powerful for the kingdom of God if we learn to put on the character of Christ, sink down into it, and to speak the truth in love. Amen? It's not a phrase. It's about how we live and communicate in relation to each other. And Paul said, this matters because the truth's got to get through. The truth's got to get through. Amen? Amen. Now, I gotta be honest with you, I'd prayed about how to end this service. It just would have been easy to just kind of do a general kind of thing, you know. But I sense in my spirit that the Holy Spirit wants a response this morning. And as I've preached, I just have a sense in my spirit that there's some individuals here that you've identified either either on the giving side or on the receiving side or on both sides, you've recognized that maybe you have a tendency to not be clothed in the character of Christ, and you just don't want to do it that way anymore. You just don't want to do it that way anymore. This morning, this is about obedience to Christ and obedience to the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray over you. I don't want to do just a general thing. I want to pray over you this morning. So as I preach this morning, if you said, man, I need to do that better. I'd be a better dad if I did that, a better father if I did that. I'd be a better minister if I did that, a better worker. I'd be a better husband or a better father if I did that. I need to do that. I need to let the Spirit do something in my life. If that's you this morning, if you know you need some help putting on the character of Christ when it comes to communication, what I want you to do is, in just a minute, I want you to stand up right where you are, and I'm just going to pray a prayer of you. Now listen to me. Before you do that, listen to me. I believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is not just something we do to close the service. Prayer, particularly the end of where the word has been preached, prayer comes and the Holy Spirit is called the sealer. Prayer comes and when we pray, the Holy Spirit seals into us what has been preached. So this morning, if you want the Holy Spirit to do that in you about some area of your life, and you say, Pastor, yep, I know I need to work on that area. I need help in that area. If you'll stand up right where you are this morning. Come on, stand up right where you are. Yeah. Yeah. I need some help in the way I communicate. I want to make sure I'm putting on the character of Christ when I communicate with others. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whether you have difficulty giving it or whether you have difficulty receiving it or whether you have difficulty on both sides, if that's you this morning, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you this morning. The word says, Jesus said that you are the teacher. And that by your Spirit you've come and you've taught us this morning. And Lord, this response this morning, this overwhelming response this morning, Lord, indicates to me that you've come and you've taught us something. You've said something. You spoke something into our lives. Something, Lord, that has to do with being more like Christ in our relationships with others so that the truth can come through. And I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Jesus also called you the sealer. So I pray that you come right now and you would seal these words of truth into people's lives. Lord, that they would be able to take these truths and apply them and walk them out. Because God, there's too much at stake. The truth has to go out. There are marriages and friendships and workplaces and churches and individuals, Lord, that are at stake here. And we need to be the people that can both give and receive the truth in love. So help us. Help every person here. You see their relationship. You see which one that they stood up for, whether it's a marriage or a workplace or a friendship, or maybe it's a relationship with a pastor or a minister or a church, or maybe it's a parent-child relationship or teenager. God, I pray that you'd come right now and you'd seal these truths into us and you would transform our relationships. I pray that this week, as they come to one of those places of communication, I pray that they would sense that you have clothed them in the character of Christ. Lord, that they would actually be surprised, pleasantly pleased, Lord, at what you're doing in that situation, Lord. Because we're doing what the word says and we're speaking the truth in love. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for it this morning. And I pray that marriages will be stronger. I pray that parent-child relationships will grow deeper. I pray that friendships will be more honest and open and authentic. And I pray, God, that our church, because of this, God, will be a more of an authentic Christian community, because the truth's got to go. The truth's got to get out. The truth's got to be spread. We thank you. We praise you for that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want everybody to stand, if you will. Thank you this morning. I've preached way longer than my voice needed me to, but I just sense the Holy Spirit teaching us something this morning. Now let's go and live it. Amen? Amen. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord this morning. I love you. God bless you. We love you.